now, John 14. If you'll look there with me, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And I want to preach the next few Sunday mornings on the mysteries of heaven, revealing some of the mysteries of heaven. We're going to spend eternity there. That is, if you're saved, we're going to be there forever and ever. So if we're going to be somewhere forever and ever, we probably ought to learn a little bit more about it, find out what it's like. There are a lot of wrong ideas out there about heaven, a lot of wrong ones. But we want to get the right ones, and the Word of God always gives us the truth. Amen? So we look to the Word of God. And I want to talk today about this place, this one place called heaven, the place called heaven. John 14, though the word heaven is not used specifically here, that's what it's talking about, beginning in verse 1. And Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." And may I pause there and say, not rooms. If you got that in your version, it's the wrong version. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is a promise that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, and someday he's coming for us. And we'll be in a real place called heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to spend eternity there forever and ever. A lady was talking to her Sunday school class, and she was sort of asking rhetorically the question, "Now, if I do good works and everything, will I get to heaven? Will that get me to heaven?" And they said, "No." And then she asked the question, "If I help my neighbor out, do good deeds for my neighbor, is that the way I'm going to get to heaven? What do I have to do to get to heaven?" She began to ask those questions. And finally, one little boy said, "I know the answer." She said, "What's the answer?" He said, "You have to die. You got to die to go to heaven." Well, that's right, isn't it? In a sense, except maybe the rapture. Every three people that die, and every minute there are 180 people that die in a minute, and 11,000 every hour. 82% of those people in our country today believe in heaven, according to the posters. 82% believe in heaven. And a lot of people are talking about heaven, and some of the best-selling books are about heaven. But everybody that's talking about heaven, as the old spiritual said, ain't going there. They're not going to go there. And so the critics aim at us, and they say, "Well, you just think about heaven too much, and you're not doing enough down here to help the poor and help the needy and help the sick and so on and so forth." And we get criticized for emphasizing that our hearts are on heaven. In the Barna and Gallup polls, as they combined some of their efforts, they found this out, that there's little difference, and this is sort of a shocking thing, that there's little difference between the morals and the lifestyles of Christians and non-Christians. Very little difference in the way we live our lives, Christians and non-Christians overall. Why is that? I think one of the reasons is we're not focusing on heaven. Most people here today, some of you, your mind's way out on what you're going to do this afternoon and how you're going to make money Monday, and instead of being here in this service. But most people are not focusing on heaven. And the result of that is we try to create down here a little heaven on earth. That's what so many people are trying to do. Well, may I encourage you to know that it's already been tried, and that's not what creates heaven on earth for us. Solomon, who was the wisest man and the wealthiest man on the face of the earth, and he tried wine and women and wealth and all the other things, And when he got through, he summarized all of that stuff that we would normally think would bring us heaven down here on earth. And he said, it's all a big goose egg, a zero, vanity. That's how he summarized it. Wealth, money. And that's what most people are trying to get, pleasure, go on another tour, go on another trip, build a bigger house, buy a fancier car, impress our relatives, impress others with our achievements and all of those things. And I'm not saying we shouldn't try to do better and do all of that, but our purpose must not be anchored down to this earth, but we must think about heaven and about the fact that we're going to spend eternity there in heaven. So we think first of all about the prominence of heaven. The prominence of heaven. As I said, there are a lot of people reading about heaven today. Some of the best-selling books recently, Left Behind and some of those others, one by Randy Alcorn about heaven, those books are bestsellers. And people are thinking about it and they're reading about it. But I find that there are just a lot of Christians that really don't know a whole lot about it. The average Christian doesn't know a whole lot about the truth that the Bible teaches about heaven. And even though it's prevalent, and even though it's very important in the lives of a lot of people, as a matter of fact, in the Bible, heaven is mentioned some 500 plus times. It is very prominent in the Word of God. But so many people really do not understand heaven. Then there's the plurality of heaven. The plurality of heaven. We have to understand that there's a plurality of heaven. And we have, according to the Bible, the first heaven. That first heaven is the atmospheric heaven that is right around us. You step out on the morning on your patio or out in your yard, you're seeing and experiencing the atmospheric heaven that is around you. Isaiah talked about it in chapter 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, this is a good day for that scripture, and the snow from heaven, we'll wait till winter for that and hope for it, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Where does it come from? It comes down from that atmospheric heaven, up above us where the clouds are, up above us where we see the birds fly. That's the first heaven. And then the Bible talks about the second heaven. Paul talked about three heavens. If there are three, there has to be one and two. He talked about the third heaven, rather. And so the second heaven is where the heavenly bodies are. And we find that throughout the Word of God. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Verse 17 says, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. That's where the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies are. And we say that's outer space. So you have the first heaven, you have the second heaven, and then you have the third heaven. And again, we go back to Paul and what he said in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up, and notice the wording, to the third heaven. He's talking about he was caught up in a vision or in a situation where he was in the very presence of God, in the throne of God, which is called the third heaven. And he said in verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. But he went to what was called the third heaven. How that he was caught up into, he refers to it also as paradise, the third heaven of paradise, which Christ regained whenever he went there and called and took paradise to heaven after his resurrection. And so it is called paradise. And he said, I heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was taken to the third heaven, the abiding place, the abode of God Almighty. And there is a place, a real place, thank God, called heaven. A real place. It's absolutely real. You've been to the place, no doubt, where you've been by the graveside or at a funeral where you're going to bury a loved one. What do you do during a time like that? When you're going to bury somebody, your husband, your wife, your child, somebody you love so dearly, a close friend. What in the world are we preachers going to say to those people during that time? And where can we get any comfort from anything like that? Well, we know that God said this to his disciples so they'd be comforted. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and take you where I am. And so that, to me, is very comforting during a time of death and when you're there with a family. And he talks about here, in my Father's house. That's a nice little phrase, isn't it? In my Father's house. Now, I was blessed to be reared in a Christian home. And I always loved my Father's house. It was his house. And I always enjoyed going back there. Even after I got out of seminary and we moved to Virginia and then Indiana, I always loved to go back. And there was about a quarter of a mile lane up to my Father's house. And it was just wonderful to go back and be at my Father's house. Then after that, Daddy died and then Mother died and then my brother inherited the house and then it was sold. So I can't really go back there now. I wish I could go back there. I don't even know who lives in my father's old house. But I can tell you one of these days we're going to have a Christian home in our father's house. And it's going to be a permanent place. It'll never be sold. It'll never be traded. We'll never lose it. It's going to be there, and it's a real place. The Greek word is topos, and it means something physical and something you can locate. Physical and locatable. There is a real heaven, a real place called our Father's house. And heaven is that permanent place. Where is it? Where is heaven? Where is heaven? Ephesians 4:10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, the other two, that he might fill all things. That's talking about Christ going to be above the first heaven and the second heaven, in the third heaven with the Father. In Acts chapter 1, we know that the disciples, when Christ ascended, what were they doing? Looking down? Oh, no. They were looking up. As he ascended to the right hand of the Father, they gazed upward. Now, where is upward? Well, it depends on where you are on the globe, I suppose, right? I mean, if you're in Australia, or if you're in Iceland, or if you're in Brazil, or if you're in America, or wherever you might be, or Alaska, somewhere, what's up? And where is up? And to many of us, it would seem that it's in a different direction as we look up. Any place that is perpendicular to the globe, where those two right angles meet, and we say that, we look up. It is up from there. Now, we know that Isaiah gives us a hint about where it is. Isaiah 14:13, or maybe not just a hint, more than a hint, for thou hast said, in thine heart I will ascend into heaven, talking about Lucifer, talking about Satan. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. In the sides of the north. Now, I don't mean to offend any southerners here. I'm a southerner, but the Bible says in the sides of the north. And it doesn't matter wherever you are, north always points up the same. If you understand that it's there in the north. And we assume that he's talking about, and I think it's a good assumption, the northern heavens. Astronomers have found this out, that this part there of outer space that we would know as the north has fewer stars and fewer galaxies. Perhaps that is where heaven is. One thing for sure we'll agree on, we know there is a real place. Jesus said it's there. And it is a permanent place. And Jesus is preparing it and we're going to go there someday, wherever it is. So we don't need to have to worry all about it, but the Bible does indicate that it's there in the north. And then we think about the preciousness of heaven. Why is heaven so precious? I think heaven's precious. We talk about going to Hawaii and we say, that's heavenly. Well, not really. It's nice. If you want to send me there, I'll be glad to go, but if you'll give me a round-trip ticket. But at any rate, it is beautiful, but it's not heaven, dear friend. It is not heaven. No one way, Brother Reeves, I heard that. The Redeemer is there. That's why it's precious. Amen? Christ is there. Heaven is where he is, and so he's there. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Not down here in this temple, which are a figure of the true, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself. He's in heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father representing us. I believe heaven is beautiful. We read about it in Revelation. We read about what it's going to be, the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the foundations of all the beautiful different diamonds and so on and so forth, all of those different things that are there, those stones. But let me tell you what the most beautiful thing in heaven is. Not those things, it's Jesus Christ. He is the most beautiful person in heaven, the most beautiful thing in heaven. Our Redeemer is there. We'll see him someday. I've always wanted to see him. How about you? Thank God we will see him someday, and he is going to be the most beautiful thing we have ever thought of. And then our relationships are in heaven. You know, the older we get, and Brother Rigsby told me, he's a little older than me, he said, now, preach, when you hit 70, it's all downhill. I said, oh, don't tell me that. Then this week I was down on my back a little bit. He said, I told you. It's going to be that way. We're getting to the age where we have more friends in heaven than we do down here. Some of you feel that way, and you know that that's really true. My parents are in heaven. Carolyn's parents are in heaven. They were Christians. They're saved. They're with the Lord. And I'm glad that we have some loved ones up there. And thank God we're going to be reunited with our loved ones up in heaven. It's precious because of that. Ladies Home Journal did a survey, and they asked this question, who would you like to see first in heaven? Who would you like to see first in heaven? Here are the results. 31% said mother. And then 16% said father, and only 10% said spouses. I don't know what you make of that, but at any rate, looks like mother won out on that one. But we know that it's precious because our loved ones are there. And then our resources are in heaven. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 2, listen to it, an inheritance incorruptible. Everything you've got down here is going to corrupt one of these days. And undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's all there reserved for you. Reserved. I like reservations. If you don't have reservations, sometimes you get left out in the cold, but it's good to have reservations. And so we have a place reserved. We're saved. And when we got saved, God became our Father. Before that, he's our Creator, but he is our Father when we get saved and we can call on him. And he says, our Father, which art where? In heaven. We pray to him that way. We are heirs, and our inheritance is in heaven. I'm not worried about so much down here. And there have been people that died, and I thought they were going to leave me something. They didn't leave me a dime. Some crankpot that didn't deserve it got it. But anyway, we are heirs with God the Father, and I have treasures, and it's established, and thank God it's never going to change. It's there in heaven. Our residence is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation, that is our citizenship. That's a good word that goes there. Our conversation, our life, our citizenship is in heaven. from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for him today? We were singing a song a while ago, and it was about, one of the verses about Christ could come any moment. And I've been singing that ever since I was a little fellow, but, you know, just keep singing it because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to come. And our citizenship is in heaven. Not now as far as where we are and all of that, but ultimately that's where we're going to be. Our citizenship is in heaven. And ultimately we're going to be there, and it'll be a permanent place. Down here I have a passport. I have to list all that information when I go traveling overseas or whatever, and on that passport, my address and my name and all that other stuff the government requires that you have, but that is all temporary stuff down here. But thank God I have something better than that called being born again. Saved by the grace of God. Born from where? Above. Born from above by the grace of God. That's why God says, set your affections on things above. Where are your affections today? Come on, be honest about it. Some of you know they're right down here. Our affections ought to be set on things above. And if we do that, we're going to be encouraged. If you look around, friend, you're going to get discouraged. Set your affection on heaven. Don't set your affection on Missouri or any of the other places where all that junk's going. Set your affections on heaven, because that's where we're going to be permanently. If you look around, you'll get depressed. If you look to heaven, you'll be encouraged. Then our reward is in heaven. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That would really disturb a lot of Baptists, I know. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's something to rejoice about. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Doesn't matter what goes on down here. Be glad, because heaven's going to be your home. And the rewards, listen, people say, it's not spiritual to talk about rewards. Oh, yes, it is. God says a lot about rewards. God gives us the opportunity to serve him in order to receive rewards. And later on, we'll talk about 5 crowns we can get. And what are we going to do with those crowns? Keep them? Absolutely not. I think we're going to lay them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege that'll be, the crowns that we'll get. God is big on rewards, and he motivates us by saying, do this, and I reward you. He did that to the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, to Israel and Judah. If you'll do this, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'm going to curse you. It works that way in our life. But thank God we're going to be rewarded in heaven. Our riches are in heaven. Matthew 6:19. Listen to this, folks. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And too many of us are doing that. We're not focusing on heaven. We're not giving toward heaven. We're not looking at heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Because up there, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, if you're looking to heaven, your treasure's in heaven, your heart's going to be there, you're going to be thinking about heaven, and those treasures will be eternally, everlastingly safe, and that's where our heart should be, in heaven. Now, how do you store up treasures in heaven? How do you actually do that? We're told to do it, but how do we do it? There are two ways I think we do it. Number one is through the Word of God, getting the Word of God. This is the only thing that's going to go up there to heaven and be there from this earth. God's Word is permanent, amen? It's sure, and it'll never change. But the other way is souls of men and women and boys and girls. They have treasures in heaven. What else is going to heaven but those you win to Christ and the Bible that you use to win them to Christ? Lay up treasures in heaven. However you arrive at doing that, through your witnessing and giving and the combination of all of that, we lay up treasures in heaven, souls, men, women, boys, and girls. That's why we ought to invest. Listen to me now, church. Our time, our treasure and our talent should not be invested down here making money so much and all of that. They ought to be invested in heaven. You, if your focus is right, you'll use your time, you'll use your talent, you'll use your treasure to glorify God and to reach lost souls. And then our reservation is in heaven. Revelation 21:27. And they shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But listen to this. This is so important. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, the unsaved, the wicked, the evil, those who have not been born again, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Those are the only people who are going to go to heaven, be able to stay there. Jesus' disciples came to him one day and they said, they were rejoicing and they were talking about casting out demons and all of this and all the miracles that were going on. And he said, and I put it in my words, don't get so excited about that. Don't rejoice about that. But if you want to rejoice about something, rejoice in this fact. Because eternity is forever, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And when you stand before God and he goes to the Lamb's book of life, how's he going to do that? I don't know and I don't really care. He said he's going to do it and he will do it. Maybe he has a giant computer up there. I don't know. But God's going to open the book, and if your name's not in the book of life, friend, depart from me. I never knew you. You will not go to heaven. But if we have our names written in the Lamb's book of life, we know we're saved today. Bless the Lord. We ought to rejoice and be happy and be thankful and live for God and serve God and put heaven on our mind all the time. Lay up treasures up there, not down here. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? He said, well, I don't know, preacher. How do I get it there? How do I do that? Well, John mentions that in our text a little bit further down in verse 6, where he says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's how you get your name written down in the Lamb's book of life. Actually, most of the names, all names are already there. And the only way it could ever be blotted out is the fact that you did not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so only those whose names remain in the Lamb's book of life, that are written there permanently, that stay there. If Jesus does not find it because you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's it, friend. You spend eternity, not in heaven, but in hell. So I would encourage you today to be sure, I mean absolutely, totally, 100% sure that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And God says if we'll come and believe and ask him to save us and trust Christ as our Savior, then everything's going to be okay. And we will go to heaven. Let's stand, please. And Father, we thank you for the Bible that tells us about heaven. What a wonderful, wonderful place we know it is for many, many reasons. Yet, Lord, I'm sure there are some here today who are not sure that their names are recorded permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray, dear God, that this will be the day that they'd be saved. And those of us who are saved, help us to perhaps refocus our attention, our life, our purpose, and let us get our attention on heaven and eternity and live like it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come while we sing together, receive Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life? Maybe you're looking for a church home, God is leading you to make this your church home, just come and let us know that. We'll take it from there. You just need to come and pray. Maybe you just want to come and thank God on your knees that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Maybe you know your focus isn't what it ought to be in heaven. It's too much down here. Get that.